Welcome back. This is Brian, your host, and welcome back to the Daily Buddhism. Be sure to check out www.dailybuddhism.com for transcripts of all the podcasts, as well as questions, answers, comments from our listeners, and many other things that we don't cover here in the podcast. That's www.dailybuddhism.com. Be sure to sign up for our daily email list. And now on with our lesson. This is our final lesson in the beginnings of Buddhism, the basics. This is about Zen. Zen. The teachings of the Buddha have been handed down from teacher to student. Zen is a lineage tradition. A master has a student who follows him for years, observing and learning at the master's feet. There's a one-to-one transmission of the teachings, and it's assumed that the same teaching is handed down in a long, unbroken line, master to student, then from that student to his student, and so on for generations. The master comes to know the student very well, and vice versa. This mutual knowledge allows for some very individual ways of teaching. Around 475 AD, one of these teachers, Bodhidharma, traveled from India to China and introduced the teachings of the Buddha there. In China, Buddhism became mingled with Taoism. The result of this combination was the Chan school of Buddhism. Around 1200 AD, Chan Buddhism spread from China to Japan, where today it is called Zen Buddhism. Zen emphasizes Dharma practice and experiential wisdom, particularly as realized in the form of meditation known as Zazen, in the attainment of awakening. As such, it de-emphasizes both theoretical knowledge and the study of religious texts in favor of direct individual assessment of one's own experience. One day, the Buddha gathered together hundreds of his most promising followers around him for a talk. They all settled in and waited for the master to speak. He just sat there with a smile on his face. He sat there and sat there. Finally, he picked up a flower and held it up silently. One of his followers, and only one, looked at that flower and gained enlightenment right there on the spot. Okay, so as we discuss Zen in the future, various old stories like this one will come up. These stories are called koans, tales or ideas that when meditated upon and considered may lead to enlightenment. Some of these stories sound very wise. Others make no sense whatsoever. As we briefly discussed, the master comes to know the student very well and will assign koans to the student that he feels will bring about enlightenment. In the previous story, Buddha knew that one student would understand the meaning of the flower, but the lesson didn't help the others at all. One particular koan may have been made up by a specific master for a specific student and did lead to that student's eventual enlightenment, but the same koan may sound just plain asinine to you. Everyone is different. Everyone learns differently. Everyone has different experiences. The important thing to know is that these koans worked for someone at some point in the past, which is why they were written down. So yes, even the stupid-sounding ones helped someone, and could help you as well if you're lucky. So you see, the thing about Zen is that it's all very intuitive and individualized. Zen Buddhists don't spend a great amount of time studying Buddhist scriptures. They prefer to spend their time meditating or experiencing life. For a Zen monk, working in the garden is as productive as meditation. Going about one's life with right mindfulness is most important. Now, Zen, as I've said, is very individual and unique for each person. Of all the forms of Buddhism, this is the one where it's most important to know yourself. How do you get to know yourself? Well, for students of Zen, it's done primarily through a process called Zazen. Zazen is the practice of just sitting and clearing the mind of all thought. Once your mind is unhindered by distraction, it's far easier to attain enlightenment. There are specific postures and positions for this form of meditation, but it has been modified to suit all ability levels. I was going to write a lengthy explanation of Zazen, but there are many other excellent pages already written on the subject available on the internet. I have two that I've linked to on the blog, www.dailybuddhism.com. One of them is a YouTube video that shows the proper Zazen sitting posture. They have a bunch of monks sitting in a meditation hall, and it's very interesting to see how they do it. There's also a link that shows modifications of Zazen for those who can't do the actual proper postures. Personally, I cannot do the lotus position, so I sit in a manner similar to the Burmese position that's shown on the second link. Much easier. No matter what your physical condition, you should be able to do Zazen in some form. It's a mental thing, it's not a physical thing. But most Buddhists do some form of meditation similar to this. Take a look at the video and the pictures at the link and give it a try. Okay, now it's time for our first koan. A cup of tea. Nanin, a Japanese master during the Meiji era, 1868 to 1912, received a university professor who came to inquire about Zen. Nanin served tea. He poured his visitor's cup full, and then kept on pouring. The professor watched the overflow until he could no longer restrain himself. "It's over full! No more will go in!" "Like this cup," Nanin said. "You are full of your own opinions and speculations. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" And this simple little story shows the core of Zazen right there. You need to empty your mind of the clutter of this world. Not necessarily just your day-to-day business and life worries, but your preconceptions about the universe and life itself. Things are rarely what they seem at first. Worries about the past or future have no value, and are in fact bad for you. Just clear your mind, and be here now. And that is the introduction to Zen. Very simple, very basic. We're going to be talking a lot more about Zen in the future, because that's really where I'm coming from. That's my chosen form of Buddhism. So I'm a Zen Buddhist, so we'll get into that more. But as I said, that is the end of the basics of Buddhism. We've covered all the basics now. Next week, I'm going to be answering questions submitted by Daily Buddhism readers and podcast listeners. So if you have any questions on anything at all, email them to dailybuddhism@gmail.com or go to dailybuddhism.com and post a comment on the show notes under the topic that interests you. You do not need to register to post comments on the website, so just go to the site, find what looks interesting, and post a comment or a question, and I will address it in the next podcast. Until then, see you next time.